Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Right in the middle of something, I'm sending something to my webmaster. We had a little bit of a problem getting on the air today. Don't know what it was. Technical issues on my end, of course. Shooting this out there. Hang on there, man. Hang on. Let's do this. Let's do do this. Morning. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I don't come out of the box hot here today. I was distracted by something. Got it done. Hey, jeez. What are the Democrats going to do, folks? What are they going to do? Do you guys remember you remember years ago when there were three TV stations? I'm sorry, three radio stations. And they used to, from 7 o'clock at night until 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night, they put the Republican and Democrat national conventions, pumped it right into your house. You had no choice. That's all you could do was watch that. That's all I could do. And all the propaganda and the big performances and the chat crowds cheering. And then this thing that's gone on with the Republican convention it's in Milwaukee, I think, is unbelievable, isn't it? It's Zoom meetings. It's like it's like this. It's like I couldn't help but think it was like not making any fun of anybody, Steve Quayle and Dr. Spaulding, when they couldn't have their in-person conferences, that's the word I was looking for. They had to do them virtually. They had to do it over Zoom or over whatever it was. And somehow it just loses something in it, you know, it just loses something in it. And I didn't turn any of it on. I didn't watch any of it. I saw about a 30-second clip of something this morning. I thought, my goodness. If anybody in the Trump administration is listening, listen to me. Here's what you got to do, anybody in the Trump administration. When the Republican convention comes around, we ought to flood wherever the convention's being held. There ought to be thousands and thousands of people out in the street making it look like they're trying to get in. You know what I'm saying? Now, maybe they did it last night at the Democrats. They are so lost. They are so anti-American. I don't know. See, it shows us the times in which we live. And Bible says, like the men of Issachar, we should understand the time in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. What's happened to us, man? The division is so great in this country. So great. Stephanie, are you out there? Stephanie went up yesterday to see Millennial Millie for us. Mike, you might be getting ready to pull up my Facebook page. You can get that ready as well. But Stephanie went up to where Millie was released from jail yesterday. I don't have a whole lot of insight on it. I spoke to several different people about it. Secret grand juries, secret indictments. Not very good stuff. Are you out there, Stephanie? Tell us, give us a full report of what went on. I know she's there.
Okay, morning, everybody.
Because that's your home. Your hometown, right, Steph?
This is my hometown. This is where I go. I mean, I live a town out now, but that's, like I said, that's where a lot of my life is. That's where I go to the grocery store. I go there. I bump into at least five people that I know. You know,
did you know Millie was up in Ravenna?
I had no clue. Somebody called me the day before, and they're like, "Hey, did you know that she lives on blah 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 road, like 3 minutes from you?" And I was like, "What?" They're like, "Do you realize that she's in Portage County?" I was like, "What?" So I started making some phone calls too, you know, because I know some people out here. And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me." And I was like, I got to go support Millie. This is like, I got to represent. This is Houston Town.
That's right.
You know,
right.
She's a truth talker. And yeah, right here in my little part of the woods here, it landed here.
And so you showed up. Nobody really seems to know why they arrested Millie. It was a secret indictment. But don't ever forget this, folks. And Randy's out there. I know if Randy's out there listening. Remember what Gideon did. This is what, when we went down and we helped rescue Dr. Ken Hovind when they were trying to put him in jail for 10 more years. We did exactly, watch out there, Mason. We did exactly what Gideon did. Does anybody know what Gideon did? Gideon shined the light and he made noise, right? You go read the story of Gideon in a battle. They had torches, they shone the light, and they made noise. They kept breaking those pots. And I'm convinced that had we not, Stephanie and Sarah Cleveland and others that we know that went up there, had we not showed up and shone the light and made the noise, this thing may have slipped right under the radar and nobody noticed it. But it became a pretty big story. And Stephanie, because you were up there, can you kind of fill us in? Just, you don't have to tell us the whole story. What was the outcome of yesterday?
They gave them a PR bond for $20,000 to be able to get out. And then they couldn't really talk about it. And we don't know everything, you know, they have to watch the secret indictment, but it was her husband and her husband's brother. And this was over a cell phone. They're saying
over
this
a cell
all
phone.
Over a family argument months ago over a cell phone.
That's right. Secret.
That they, yeah.
A secret indictment, right? And you know, some of the guys, some of the bigger tadpoles than me that are flopping around said this is, should be a clear warning to all of us. If they're having secret indictments over family cell phones, folks, we got
from
a big
April.
Issue. Now if you
that
can hang on, it happened in April. Hey, Jared or Mike, real quick, if you can pull up our website because I want to go to the videos. I've heard from several different people, and thank you, Kevin, out there for the heads up on it as well. Who've been trying to find the video on our website, and they haven't been able to find it because we didn't really have it labeled as Millennial Millie or anything like that. So when I did some changes here. There we go. Let me get down here a second. I'm on. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this would be well worth your time to go to where it says Shadowgate. It's the fourth one over. Fourth one. It's 84 minutes right there. Just click on that a second, Mike. Folks, listen, I'm going to tell you, you can play this at time and a half speed or whatever. This shows what's going on, man. This shows, and this is what Millie was putting together when they ended up arresting her. And so now if you've been wondering, trying to figure out where it is, it's now on our homepage under Shadowgate. And what it is, it's two whistleblowers who've been involved in the deep state saying this is how they're doing it. And they name names and point out who's what's going on. And it's really, really informative. So I'm not going to take time for you to watch this now, but I would encourage you, all of you, all to watch this because it's very, very, very well documented. So Stephanie, as far as we know, then Millie's out of jail, $20,000 bond. Folks, this is really good, really good video. And back with her family. Folks, here's one of the interesting things that was going on throughout this whole thing. She had a hearing yesterday, supposedly had a hearing yesterday at 10 a.m. to take her children from her before she even appeared in court at 11 o'clock for this charge, this secret grand jury charge. They had already filed paperwork to take her children before she'd ever been in court. Something really, really nefarious. Something really, really ugly going on here. And so we all just got to be aware of the times in which we live and exactly what's going on and understand the assault that's upon the family and the assault upon all things that are good and all things that are righteous. And, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So coming to a theater near you, as they like to say. Anybody have a comment on that? I'm not going to stay on this thing very long, but we appreciate Stephanie running up there for us. And there's play that real quick, Mike, a little quick 3-minute video from Sarah Cleveland. Sarah's a friend of ours. God bless Sarah. She lives down by Columbus.
At a county jail here where Millie Weaver was being held. She's an investigative reporter who has done tons of investigative reporting. She's a young mother of two. So a few days ago, she was arrested
Hey Jared, Mike,
on several
this.
Different charges,
burglary. About the, Scroll forward till we see Millie get out of jail. Scroll on forward quite a ways. There she comes. It's when they finally let her out.
That's Tori from the documentary.
The girl made the documentary. There's Tori, the one girl we just saw, and Millie. These folks have really laid it on the line, man. This is some dangerous stuff that they're doing.
Hey, your babies are perfect.
Pause it a second, Mike. Friends, I don't know if you know this or not. One of the worst things that they do, and they do it on purpose, is arrest you on a Friday, particularly late Friday afternoon, because there are no courts open on Saturday and Sunday. So if they arrested Millie, which they did on Friday afternoon, they took her to court, they processed her, they kept her Friday, Saturday, and half of Monday before she could get before a judge. So she spent 2.5 days in jail for something that she may not even be guilty of. And so just be very, very careful whenever you're out doing any kind of street ministry, anything that could possibly end you up in jail, you're not going to be able to bond out probably, just as a lesson. Go ahead real quick, a little bit more of this, Mike. So I thank Sarah Cleveland for being there.
She gets to go home to her babies.
Stephanie being there. She has I think a 3-year-old and maybe even a less than a 1-year-old. I'm not exactly how old they are. 29 years old. This girl's got
thank you, Millie. Go home to your babies.
That's right. Hey friends, do me a favor.
Have nothing to do with the wicked works of darkness and instead expose them.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hey, folks, go watch the video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've been here all day and waiting, and we're finally like, oh, she's not going to be released, and we started to leave.
I pull you down. Pull it down. So, again, that video is worth that. I feel like I'm floundering. Anybody got a comment on this? I want to just give you all an update on that first thing this morning. Anybody got anything to add to it or say to it? Or thanks for going up there, Steph. I know you had to take a day off work to do it. Whatever is important. I should have gone. I had it to do over, I would have gone. And we have to, again, like I said yesterday, my old buddy Mark Collier sent me a message this morning because Mark coached football with me. And he knew Dave Klontz. Remember the story I told yesterday about really only 8 games that really mattered? Really only 8 games that really mattered. And Mark sent me a message this morning that was really, really right on. I'm looking, Mark, to see if you're in here. Don't see you in here. Folks, it's the other games that make the 8 important games important. Say it again. The games that don't seem important are the ones that end up making the 8 important ones important. And it's preparation. And it's stepping into the battle. And it's learning to become battle-tested and battle-hardened and being able to have a face like flint and pressing on, even when things seem to be tough, continuing to press on. And Mark sent that to me this morning. I thought, boy, that's exactly right on. And again, I think we're there. I think we're there. I think some of you guys have been battle tested, and some of you are going to be more battle tested, and some of you are going to be more battle hardened. But the truth of the matter is, some of those 8 games are coming up in front of us. But we got to play these little games. We got to play this bitty football first, and be prepared for what we see coming. Because it ain't gonna get any better. I mean, not for a while anyway. Not for a while. Okay, what am I doing here, Coach? What are you doing here this morning?
Yes. If they arrested her for a family incident over a cell phone, do you not think that a $20,000 bond is extremely excessive?
Well, Kevin, her mother, the mother whose phone supposedly she took, wrote a letter saying, I don't want my daughter prosecuted. This is a family matter, yada, yada, yada. And they get a secret grand jury. Now, I wondered if there's something else at work here. Would Millie have gotten all of that attention with this video, which has now like 20 million views? Would it have gotten all those views if she hadn't been arrested?
They're trying to send a message, Coach. And not only that, it's that old tactic of the mafia. We're going to go after your children. We're gonna take your kids. If you don't shut up, if you don't back off, we're giving you a foresight of what we're able to do. What did Schumer say? We can get you from seven different ways, six days.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Let me share about grand juries a little bit. You know, grand juries, all grand juries, their proceedings are secret.
Right.
Okay. And when I was arrested in jail waiting for a trial, I was sitting in court one day, and a bailiff came in and had a stack of warrants, must have been 30 or 40 of them in there. And they said there's going to be a slight break in the action or whatever they call that whenever you have a break in the action in court.
And recess.
Recess. It says we've got a quorum for the grand jury and we have some stuff to take before it. So he took these 40 or so warrants in out of the room. And about 7 minutes later, he was back with 40 indictments. So I know the proceedings are kept secret and they must scare them real good because I've never gotten anybody to talk about what happened at our grand jury time. But there is no way on earth that grand jury could go through the details of 40 warrants and come back with valid indictments. But he came back with a stack of indictments just as tall as the warrants.
Somebody said, we got a legal system, but not a justice system, right? I got to show you this. Hey, Mike, play the first thing on the mask. I just look at my list of stuff to talk about. I gotta get this. You got to see this. You just got to see this. So pull it up there for us, Mike. I didn't give him fair warning on it. This is a doctor who does some vaping to show us the effectiveness of masks.
Let's cut to the chase and take a look at an ordinary surgical mask, and I'm using a vape. As you can see, that vape, which has aerosols the same size as COVID-19 or larger, goes through and around a surgical mask. Now, if we take a cup mask and have a good look at it, here we go. Notice it goes right through the mask easily and goes in every direction. The aerosol is not affected by the mask in any material. Now we look at a surgical mask with a foam strip to protect above and keep my glasses from fogging. Lo and behold, the aerosols go all around it. Has no effect on me spreading aerosols to you. Now a cloth mask I borrowed from my wife. Once again, here we go. Boom, straight through and around. It has no effect on the spread of aerosols. They go everywhere. And then I went and bought a guard mask with a high efficiency filter material. That one, here we go. Watch for it. Through and around. It had no effect on the vape aerosol, which remember is the same size or larger. Now, I don't have an N95 mask. I have these shop respirators where they can put all kinds of things in them, but they're like an N95 because when you breathe out, everything goes out through a valve. Guess what? It might protect me from you. It sure isn't going to protect you from me. Let's look at that again. Boom. Any mask with a button on it has a valve that lets everything go from you to your neighbor. It has no effect on anything. I think you can get the picture now. There is absolutely nothing that any of these masks do to protect you from me. And the fact is that unless I have a mask which is fully sealed, and where I breathe through the filter material both directions, and I have a really high quality filter, nothing is going to protect in either direction. Because just the same way that the vape went out, around, and through, it will come in, around, and through. Aerosols will not be stopped by man.
So why do they continue to tell us to wear masks? Why do they continue? See, I say that the left are the greatest science deniers in the whole world. Why do they continue to do that if we know they do not work? Has to be some type of psychological operation, doesn't it? Some sense of security that you would have. Are they trying to keep us from being afraid, or are they trying to scare us? Which one? And Kevin, I know you got a story from what went on out there in Neosho or wherever. What happened there, bud?
Joplin City Council last night had a meeting. For the last 38 days, Joplin has had a mask mandate in effect, and it was set to expire at midnight last night. So they were deciding as to whether to revise it and extend it or not. And actually, I think there's just my two cents. I think there's a couple of different things that are involved with masks. One, nationally, they're being promoted that, Fiasco Fauci is promoting it, that masks do help, stop some stuff. But then somehow, some way, there was an excessive amount of money put into the CARES Act, and these hospitals, especially these not-for-profit hospitals, benefit tremendously financially from areas where they are able to get citizens to capitulate to a mask mandate. Fortunately, last night I was able to, I'm no longer officially a candidate for Congress, although I could be a write-in. I went last night as a business person and a citizen, and I don't live in Joplin, but I shop in Joplin. And from the mask mandate, the very first Saturday that the mask mandate was in effect in Joplin, at our Neosho Walmart, we had over 1,000 additional customers on that Saturday alone, the first weekend that the mask mandate was in effect in Joplin. So, and I know that was benefiting the other smaller communities around the outskirts of Joplin. So after 40 people spoke last night, there had been an online poll on Facebook for the last 3 days. There were 10,500 people had voted on that poll. It was a 58% against the mask across the board. So finally, after they voted last night at almost 11 o'clock, they voted to let the mask mandate expire, and they moved from step two to step four on reopening the city. So now the city of Joplin, for the first time in almost 40 days, the restaurants get to be at full capacity. People don't have to wear masks anymore. They don't have to go through this compliance and capitulation system, and the hospitals got given a single finger salute. So anyway.
Well, good. Pushing back. We need more of that kind of pushback, Kevin. And I had something I was going to show today and never really got about it. Maybe I'll get into it tomorrow. Yeah, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me. I may be breaking
up. Yes, we got you.
Put a check in the box for they know about it. All right, so if they know these masks don't work, and they know it, why did they make us wear them? Why?
That's a great question.
I put a link in the chat. That's one of the reasons why it's a ritual.
That's why it's a ritual. It's a ritual, right? I mean, it continues to amaze me. I don't want to get bogged down on this, folks, but we got to push back. I was going to do a reading today from a guy named James Altucher. Altucher, I think it is. Funny name. I'm going to bring it up tomorrow about how the city of New York is totally and completely destroyed. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, we got a couple great experts coming up. We got a medical expert coming up again on Friday, a doctor out of Missouri, I believe, telling the truth about, again, hydroxychloroquine. And then Jack Cashel. I don't know if you guys have heard of Jack Cashel. I got Jack coming up next week. Jack wrote a book called The Unmasking of Obama. In fact, he wrote a great book on TWA Flight 800. Jack's going to join us next week. So I got some great stuff coming up here in the future. A lot going on. Trying to get some information out. I want to shift gears because this has really been a burden on me for a while, because I see it all the time. And Mike, pull up Exodus 20. I think that's what it is, isn't it? Exodus 20. I think so. I want to talk to you this morning about the Ten Commandments. And the way that we take those Ten Commandments and we read through them real quickly and we think we memorize them. You can go into the average church and studies show that 95% of the people in the church cannot recite the Ten Commandments. 95% of the people that you go to church with don't know the Ten Commandments. Don't know them. I'll say it again. 95% of people who go to church could not recite the Ten Commandments to you. Not trying to make anybody feel bad, just trying to show you what's going on. But what we do know about the Ten Commandments, we don't even know them in their completion. We could say, no other gods before me, and no graven images, but we don't read the depth of the Ten Commandments. And I wanna show you something today that's really been on my heart for a couple months here. Ten Commandments are divided into, if you look at the Mike, now I'm going to really see how good you are, Mike. See if you can pull up a picture of the Ten Commandments on tablets, Mike. You can probably do that somewhere. I should have forwarded this to you before. But I want to show you something I think is really, really significant. There would be a picture. Okay, good, Mike. There's all kinds of them, right? But most of the tablets you see the Ten Commandments and they're pulled up. Just make one of them. Now make the two tablets, Mike. Give me the two tablets. When the two tablets are pulled up, there, that would be a good one. I want you to notice this, that just about everywhere. There's not five commandments on one tablet and five commandments on another tablet. There are four commandments on the first tablet and six commandments on the second tablet. And the reason that is the first four commandments, by the way, look how, we're going to go through these a second. But look how short these are. First commandment, I shall have no other gods before me. Second one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We could get into that discussion as the Sabbath day is pretty important. But anyway, these, the first four commandments, the way that I've understood this to be, have to do with your relationship with your Creator. That's what's on the first four, right? No other gods before me, no graven images, don't take his name in vain, and honor him on the Sabbath. First four. And then the second tablet always has to do with your relationship with your fellow man. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet anything that is in thy neighbor. So you have the first, excuse me, the first tablet telling us how we should, our reverence for the Lord and the things that are the Lord's. And the second tablet, which tells us how to relate to one another, right? So again, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? He said, there's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. There it is, the first tablet. And he said, the second is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbors yourself. So you get the picture here? Get the picture? So Mike, go back to Exodus, because I want to, if we could just ever dive in sometime to a real deep teaching of the Ten Commandments, that's something we could probably all do, get away with, need. Exodus 20, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Folks, 2 and 3 are the first commandment. Not just 3. It explains why. You shall have no other gods before him. Why? Because he's the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. That's why you shall have no other gods before him. The second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. So, see, it's easy to say just thou shalt not make any graven image, but it's deeper than that. And we could get into a deep, deep discussion of this commandment. But it's not just you shall not make any graven image. It goes into greater depth. You guys picking up what I'm saying, laying down here? And then the third one says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. This is still part of the second commandment. You shall not bow down to them. How about the government? You shall not bow down to the government nor put on a mask. For thou, I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Folks, that's three verses telling you what the second commandment is. The second commandment isn't just thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. It's so much deeper than that as to where your heart is, where our heart is, where our heart goes. Again, we could go on and on here. Now, I feel some of you trying to come in. Stay with me. I'm trying to go somewhere. And showing mercy. How about that? Thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, paying back, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Generational curses right there. Then verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, folks, that doesn't mean cuss. No. Is cussing a sin? Is taking the Lord's name in vain a sin? Yes. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about cussing. He's talking about calling ourselves one of his followers and not applying all the power of his name. That's the way that I read it. Shall not take the name of the Lord your God. Vain, remember? Vain means for no purpose or without power. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for the wrong purpose or without the power. For the Lord God will not hold guiltless him that calls himself a Christian and doesn't, you with me? And then number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's the Lord's Sabbath. And in it thou shalt not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That takes three verses to tell us to keep the Sabbath. Cliff notes. We have cliff notes of the Ten Commandments. Cliff notes. So remember this. The first four commandments are your relationship to God, your duties and responsibilities in relationship to the Almighty. And then the second tablet has to do with your relationship with your fellow man. And this is where, well, let me read down real quick, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to try to make a point here that I think is really, really valuable. So he told us, he starts writing on that other tablet, his cliff notes. And he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's the fifth one. Then the sixth one, you shall not kill. Actually, it's murder, because the Bible tells us there is a time to kill, right? Ecclesiastes tells us that. There is a time to kill. So that should be interpreted as murder. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So this always gets me in trouble, but I'm going to throw it out there where I can. See, this doesn't say not to lie. Lying, bearing false witness, has to be purposeful, intentional, and nefarious. You are bearing false witness in order to hurt your neighbor. We could get in an argument if a rapist came into my house and said, where's your wife? I got it. He's got a gun. He's got a knife. He's going to come in and go rape my wife. I'd lie. I would lie there. Because I wouldn't be bearing false witness against my neighbor. I'd be protecting my neighbor. Anyway.
I'm sorry, Coach, you just got to jump in there and throw it out there, really stir the pot. Bearing false witness is telling your neighbor, hey, I can wear this mask, it protects you, and it protects me. That's bearing false witness.
After we know the truth, right? Initially, I get it. We know the truth now, folks. We know the truth. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Now, we know the eighth commandment on the stone probably says thou shalt not covet. Probably, doesn't it? But it says you shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, his servants, his maidservants, his ox, his ass, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Shouldn't covet it. Boy, we could learn something if we taught that, couldn't we? Instead, the government teaches everybody that what I have is yours. You deserve it. The government teaches people to covet. Boy, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet. Did I skip one? No, I didn't. That's it. But here's where I want to go. Just as I believe, I have no theological basis for this, what I'm about to tell you, other than I say it, okay? Just as the first 10 commandments, first four commandments are put in order. What's the first commandment, Mike? Scroll back up there. What's the first commandment? When they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you have no other gods before me. And he goes on and tells you why. So the greatest commandment is no other gods before me. When they asked Jesus, which is the greatest, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. So he encapsulated all the first four into one. And then he said the second tablet's just as important. And the second tablet is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't covet from him. You won't lie about him. You won't steal from him. Are you getting the picture I'm trying to paint here? But I think it's really, really unique that sitting on top of the first of the second tablet, I'm going to say this again. You have the first tablet and the top four, and then you have the second tablet and the top six. But I believe they're in order, and I believe they're in order for a purpose. And one of the things I see going on in Christendom and see going on in America and in education and in government is a full frontal attack, assault on the fourth commandment. I'm sorry, the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment. Mike, can you go back to Exodus for me real quick? I find it interesting that the fifth commandment says, slide on down, brother. I want you to see it. Remember, it's the number one on the second commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. And then the second commandment is to love your neighbors yourself. And isn't it interesting that when they start out the second one, they say honor, not love. Honor thy father and thy mother. You get me now? This is the first one of the second group. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And if there's been anything that I've seen over the last 20 years of my life that has caused me more concern than this, I don't know what it would be. Folks, our children are not taught to honor us. Not taught to honor us anymore. It's not taught in the schools. It's not taught in the churches. It's not totally undermined in the church. But when you go to church, your kids shouldn't go to Sunday school. Why should your kids go to Sunday school? The children should always see you, father, you, mother, as the primary educator. You shouldn't send them off to Sunday school. It's like when you get up in the morning and you put your kids on the yellow school bus to hell, you are sending them to somebody else to teach them what? Their values, what they believe, their indoctrination, their theology, what? What is it that you're teaching them? And so right from the very beginning, as soon as you remove the parents, the father and the mother, as the ultimate authority in the home, the rest of this stuff begins to break down. That's the way that I see it. And I think if you look at what's going on in the streets of America, and you look what's going on with all the tearing down of the statues and the rewriting of history, it is ultimately, folks, a violation of the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. I got into an argument, a debate, whatever, a discussion, whatever you want to, with a member of my family, not my immediate family, but a member of our family over this very issue. And I could not believe how disrespectful this child, not my child, you follow what I'm saying? If I couldn't believe how disrespectful some 30-something young girl treated me. Things I would have never, ever said to any adult in my life. I would have got my teeth knocked out if I had ever, ever questioned one of my uncles to his face. If I had ever said to my Uncle Bob, "Oh, Uncle Bob, you're old-fashioned. You're just full of crap." If I had ever done that, my dad would have slapped me across the floor so fast it made your head spin. And I was thinking today, they came after Millie Weaver's children. Why? Because they're doing everything they can to undermine the idea that daddy and mommy rule the roost. And I wonder how many of you, if you were to be honest, or if I gave you the opportunity to say so, how many of you watching right now are in a strained relationship with one of your children, and your children do not honor you? Can anybody say amen out there on that one?
Amen, Coach.
Amen. Honor, not love. You don't have to love them. You don't have to love them. But I can tell you this. There are many, I would have, some of the things, I'm talking about my own children. Now, some of the things my own children have said to me, I just sit back in amazement that they would even say that. Now, they don't say it, folks, listen, they don't say it to be malicious. Sometimes they do. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where did our children learn to be so disrespectful to mom and dad? On number one on the second tablet, honor your parents. And we don't. Somebody come in there. What do you think?
I think you're spot on, Coach. And, of course, our kids make mistakes. I can only speak about my own. And, I mean, I can't say that my kids don't honor me. They do. And the times where they had that string of rebellion, to watch them come back without me saying, "Hey, you need to repent," watch them humbly come back to me and repent tells me a lot right there that, that's okay. We're going to make these mistakes. They said those things out of that rebellion. But I want to share something. I don't know if you saw that in the arrest. Her little boy came out on that porch. Yeah. Brother, let me tell you, he came out and said, get my BB gun. Where's my BB gun? That little boy wanted to defend his mom from the police.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So the point, Dale, the point I'm making, see, folks, the point I'm making, what do you think tearing down the statues is? The tearing down of the statues is nothing more than a clear violation of the values that your parents held. That's all this is. It's all it is. We got a statue up of George Washington because somebody somewhere thought his values were important enough that they put a statue up. And now we come along and we have a rebellious generation. Why are they rebellious? Because they've been fed this malarkey in the government schools that the parents are old-fashioned, the parents don't know what's going on, the parents aren't educated. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so many of our issues in America deal with the fact that we do not honor our father and mother. Now, hang on. Both of my grandparents, I'll say this. When my grandmother on my dad's side, when she died of a heart attack, dropped over dead of a heart attack, my dad's sister took in my grandpa. My grandpa died not in a nursing home. He died in the home of his daughter. My mother's mom, Dad Fisher, he lived until he couldn't, then he died. But Mom Fisher never went into a nursing home. She went into the home of one of her children. And I've often wondered as we look about where we are in America today, I don't know if guilt's the right word. My dad, when my father died, he couldn't have lived 30 seconds in a nursing home. He couldn't have done it. Thank God he just died. But my mom went into a nursing home. And she She loved it at first, and then her Alzheimer's got worse. And Michelle's mother laid in a nursing home for 7 years with Alzheimer's. And I wonder sometimes, just getting God honest here, was that honoring? Would my mom have stuck me in an orphanage because I was pooping my pants and peeing and spilling my food all over me? Would my mom have put me in an orphanage?
I was just going to share that, Coach, what you just said, because it is part of is what is our children seeing what we're doing with our parents? My kids have seen us take care of Michelle's mom and dad. Her mom died in the house, and her dad, who's pretty much wheelchair bound, we cook his food. We bring him food. We'll go down there and eat dinner. That's part of it. It's not about what we're saying. It's what are we doing?
You're honoring him, right? Honor. Listen, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad this morning. Listen, please don't. If you take it that way, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm talking about me and my life. And look back at the last 7 years, and Michelle's mother had Alzheimer's, and she just laid there. She just laid there. And I wonder, should she have just laid in our house? Would that have been more honoring for her to lay in our house rather than lay in a nursing home? Because when she went into a nursing home, can I tell you the truth? Made our life easier to a degree. Michelle didn't have to have bedpans and clean up and didn't have to do that. We hired somebody else to do it. And all the materialism and all the stuff that we see going on, is our generation, are we really honoring our mother, us?
Because the way I've always taught that scripture, see, you said it's not love and it's not obeying. Obeying is not honor. Honor, the way I read it and did a little insight study in the Hebrew on that, it is to nurture and to take care of when they get older. That mm-hmm. is what honoring is.
Mm-hmm. And we're not very good at that, are we?
No.
And as a result of it, what do we see? We see rebellious children. We see rebellious children. Can I tell you something else? One of the things that I say sometimes when I go to the abortion clinic, I do everything I can to chastise the death squirts. The death squirts are the ones who, the grown-ups, the adults, the older people, a lot of times who are there escorting the women in to kill their baby. And I'll yell at the death squirts and say, don't you have any sense of decency? Don't you understand that you are helping somebody kill somebody else's grandbaby, and the grandparents may not even know it? See, when you have a baby, when you give birth to a child, I taught our children all this. My DNA is in there, boys and girls. It ain't just you. It just ain't you. I'm in there. My dad's in there. My mom's in there. My grandma's in there. Michelle's in there. Her grandpa's in there. Her dad's in there. The honoring of thy father and mother is what? What does the Bible say? Huh? The crown of an old man is grandchildren's, the crown of the old man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, we moved from another state and moved in with my grandfather the last 3 years of his life. And I can tell a difference between my younger three children than my older one, because they were the ones that actually lived in the same house with my grandfather in for his last days.
And by doing that, see, I remember when I was a young kid, we used to laugh because my grandma, who was staying with us, my mom Fisher, she'd get up, and when she'd get up, she'd start cutting some stinkers, some farts. And we always made a joke, oh, grandma's getting her motor running. Grandma, you getting your motor running? And it was a sense of humility that I learned when grandma got up and got her motor running, to realize that she really couldn't control that part of her anymore, and it was okay. A humility, an honor. Now think about the culture and the society, the throwaway society that we have today. Hey, Mike. Go back to that commandment, man. Go back to that commandment. And just apply this. Not only apply this personally, but apply it generationally. Honor your father and your mother. Not love. that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a generational connection to how we treat our parents.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I'll share this one with you. When Mary Jane's mom died at 98, and I'll say this just to brag on Mary Jane a little bit, 72. So she's old school. We tried moving her in here with us. It was about 3 months she was here, and that whole woman just didn't want to be here in this house. Took her back to her house again. She ended up having to go to the nursing home, and I can tell you this much, 5 years from the age of 93 to 98, Mary Jane went up there every day of the year. Mm. Every day. Oh, it was so rough. I mean, she was wore out for 5 years. She was up there every day with that woman to make sure she was being taken care of, because they don't get taken care of in there. Then she picked up through just one year, maybe 12 birthday cakes she took up there to old people and put party hats on them all, blew them little things, and old Joe and Mabel, different women and women in there got birthday parties, and Mary Jane would give cake to every nurse, every patient, delivered up. They wanted her to take a job in there, and I'm like, no. But she even went to 2 or 3 funerals of old there. She got to know them, their whole past history, what they did when we were younger. She went to their funerals. I didn't even know it until she came home. That's where you've been today. Oh, I went to Virginia's funeral, and she stood up and spoke at their funeral to honor them old people. But she took that seriously, you know what I mean? Yeah, but she honored her mom clear to the day.
So let me ask this one, Jeff, and I'm not doing it to be personal. Do your children honor you?
No, Coach, they don't.
Come on in, Silver.
I want to say, and yes, my children honor me. Unfortunately, we didn't have more children. Hmm. Because our generation said, we got to get the timing right.
Yeah.
All that kind of crap.
Yep.
And I have 9 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter. And hopefully more will be coming. But the one thing I wanted to say about this commandment from the Lord, and that has always blown me away, is that this commandment to us is the only commandment with a promise.
That's right, brother.
If you do this, if you honor your mother and your father, which I did, which my wife did, which my children are, your days will be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
There's a promise there.
It's a promise.
You know, Joseph, I say to my wife 3 times a week. Now, our family has no idea what the world would be like if you're not here, Michelle. They have no idea. And if they could live for 2 weeks without you being around, they would so honor you when you come back. Because of the little things that she does, the being the matriarch. She says, I don't want to be the matriarch. I said, honey, you are the matriarch. We had 3 of them spend the night with us last night. Why? Because our daughter knows she had to do something early this morning. So she said, can the grandkids come over? So Michelle right now is up there being a grandmother to 3 kids. And I would say this. You cannot buy what Michelle is imparting in the lives of those children.
Amen.
And somewhere along the line, we have made that a curse. We've made grandparents a curse. And I think that's part of the problem we see all across the spectrum of America. Somebody come in.
Yep.
It's a hard one, isn't it? It's a hard one.
How can one generation teach another generation if we keep separating the generations?
Dale, we separate them in church. We separate them in school. We separate them everywhere, right? Everywhere
they go.
Separated. There's always somebody else teaching them, always somebody else. And so we tell our children to go to school, listen to their teacher, honor their teachers, do what their teachers say, and the teachers don't even have the same values. The teachers are teaching them lies. And so then we wonder why when our kids get to be 13, 14 years old and can think a little bit on their own, they're thinking, well, that's not what mom and dad say. That's not what That's not what we believe in our house.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Another important aspect of this is the children, the grandchildren, do not receive the impartation from Grandma and Grandpa if they don't get around them and get part of their life. And if they don't see their mom and dad honoring them, that is the part of the inheritance you get when you father the children get from their is they get that impartation that is so amazingly powerful, and they don't get it, and that's part of the problem of the kids. They don't have that.
That's right. The affirmation, Randy. If there's one regret that I have a lot of regrets. I'd love an hour with my dad. Does anybody else feel that way?
Amen, Coach.
I would
Amen.
Love an hour right now with my dad. If I could just sit down and say, you know what? Come here. You were right. You were right, Dad. You were right. I was wrong. I never argued with my dad. I never did. I never argued. I never told him he was wrong. I never told him I thought he was crazy. Never did. A lot of times I did. Say, he's just old. He's just old-fashioned. No, look here. More than my DNA in these girls. More than my DNA. Right? Aren't they pretty? Don't have the same parents. Both pretty. Hey, look real close. You see me. You see me. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Honor them. God's shut down all those schools. God shut down all those schools. Bring those kids back home and teach them to honor their father and mother. It grieves me when I see parents put on Facebook, oh, I have to homeschool. I don't know what to teach. Are you kidding me? You don't know what to teach? What? You bought a lie. You bought a lie. Teach them what you know. Put you in them. Put you in Reese. Put me in her. The memories that she's going to be able to have. My oldest sister, Jane, who's Jane's 6 years older than me. So when I was six, she was 12. She knew some of my ancestors, and maybe I didn't know. And I love it when Jane comes over and she sits down, she starts talking about some of my ancestors that I sort of knew but didn't really know. No, and she'd say, well, you know they did this. You know, no, I didn't. No, how do you know that? Well, she was 12. I was six. She knew. She saw. And the idea of passing that heritage down. Honor life. Don't love them. Honor thy father and thy mother. Hmm? I took Reese when we got sky high. Took Reese up and we put some concrete down, didn't we, Reese?
Yeah.
Remember what was on that concrete?
My hand.
Reese put her hand down in there. And what, Reese?
My name.
Your name and what else?
The date.
The date. And I said, Reese, you're going to always remember the day that you became the queen of sky high. And I passed that legacy on. Folks, we got to get back to that stuff. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to it. And I told Michelle the other day, what a sad, sad day it's going to be when Grampy's not around and they don't even know it yet. Are we teaching that to our kids? The value of grandparents? Are we teaching that? Are we passing on that heritage? Those traditions? No, we're tearing down statues. We're not building them up. They're tearing down statues. Bob Evans is putting up crosses. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.